You're listening to the Missionary Perspective Podcast with veteran missionaries Eric Johnson and Joshua Mead. We're glad you could join us. We trust this podcast will be both a blessing and a challenge as we relate topics in world evangelism from a missionary perspective. Now, here's Josh and Eric.
Welcome back to the Missionary Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Johnson, here in the sunny DR, and we're joined again by Josh Mead, not in Senegal today, but rather in cold Michigan. Josh, how are we feeling today?
Oh, man, we have some flurries outside and
snow, right?
Yeah, a lot of snow flurries. They probably should have canceled school, but, you know, it's Michigan. We're going to find a way there, whether it's dog sleds or snowmobiles. We'll get them to school. So we, yeah, we're cold.
This might be the first time in the history of our podcast, a missionary in the Dominican Republic and one that's supposed to be in Africa, that we had a delay on snow this morning.
Exactly, a snow delay. So we started an hour later than what we had scheduled, but it's all good. We're on, and we are talking about finances. It's a topic that I think more and more missionaries and pastors are starting to openly discuss. Before,
absolutely,
I think in the past, there was kind of a stigma of you just trust God by faith and do it. And, we've got a great mission, Eric. Our mission does a yes. tremendous job. We have some great guys on our board and in the mission that do great with finances. And they help missionaries out getting prepared. But not every missionary has that. Not every missionary maybe has had financial background or has really done anything to help prepare them to do a budget, to do the work on the field. And so these things are important that I think needs to be discussed. So we're going to talk about today, Eric, furlough, budgeting, project, maybe touch a little bit on projects and how to budget for that, raising funds. And so you've done a few furloughs. Yours are a little bit different. You do shorter furloughs and ours, we usually tend to do a little bit longer. I don't like doing a full year, but we do try. But your finances kind of take a little hit there, and it requires some maneuvering and pre-planning whenever you take these furloughs, especially if you're expanding to different ministries. So share a little bit about kind of your first furlough and what you had to budget and prepare for that maybe you weren't expecting or ready for.
That's a good question. It's funny just thinking about the situation we're in right now. Josh, when did you get back on this furlough? I can't remember. Can you, when it was?
We came back last June. We're doing a full year because we haven't visited a lot of our churches for about 5 years. So yeah, we came back last June. And
so this will show us the difference in perspectives, which is good because no two missionary families are alike. For Josh and his situation, certainly traveling from Senegal for the price of that, the logistics, all that. He came home in June and is going to leave, you know, a few months later. We are getting ready to go back for the second time since Josh got there in June. So we went back in July and August for about 6 weeks and saw churches, saw family, did some things, had some doctor appointments. Now we're heading back in March, the middle of March. We'll be there for 6 weeks again and leave at the end of April, and Josh will still be there. Now, you know, that's just the point is we're giving perspectives. For us, it works that way. The reason we're going home so frequently in this case is mostly due to my wife's having a pacemaker replacement surgery. And also because of the state of my situation with my mother-in-law and some health needs, we're trying to visit her a little more frequently. So that's kind of the point what we're getting at. You know, your furlough is not exactly, you know, 4 years here, 1 year here. You know, it's nice if it worked out that way. That's not how it works out usually. It works out for each individual case. Obviously, you're going to touch base with your home sending pastor and your mission board if you have one to make sure it's agreeable. Now, with that in mind, going home on furlough for us, I would say the expenses you would face probably wouldn't matter if we were home for, well, I guess they would matter if we're home for a longer period of time, we'd probably have to rent a place. But since we've never been home for more than 3 months, we've always been able to stay with family or friends or along the road, along the way. I do know if you stay for a much longer period of time, I think in Josh's case, he's staying with family, but I do know situations where people have to rent maybe the basement of someone's home or a small apartment or a small house. I remember that happening with a missionary friend of ours who was in Burkina Faso. And so we have not personally had the experience. Josh, you can kind of talk to that. But as far as the expenses, in our case, I don't remember anything particularly new that you might not be able to add into deputation. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, so when we come back, there are budgets and expenses that it's interesting how it works. Obviously, as we mentioned in our last podcast, God provides for your needs, but you need to be a wise steward and you do need to plan. As we mentioned in our last podcast, before you build a tower, Jesus said, you need to count the cost. And so I think you need to budget and raise support to the needs of your family and the ministry that you're involved in. And so when we come back on furloughs, and we took the advice of a missionary who had done 40 years of work in West Africa there, not far from where we are ministering, where it physically takes a toll on you. We live in it's the Sahel, which is sub-Saharan climate. It's taxing on your body. You know, you're hitting 120 degrees during the hot season, and it's hard on your body. We're isolated. This year, going back to Senegal in our town, there's really no other missionary families there. There's one other that just moved there that we're getting to know a little bit, but all the other missionary families are moving out of our city. And so there's an isolation factor. So we took advice of a missionary who said, because of his wife's, and I think I mentioned this in a podcast before, but he said because of his wife's health issues, they would go back every 2.5 years and do about a 6 to 8 month home assignment, is what some people call it, or a furlough. Mm-hmm. Furlough gives the implication of a rest time, and it's not really a rest time. It's you're still busy in the ministry, but it is a time to recharge. Mm-hmm. As a husband and a father, you do need to be cognizant of the needs of your family so that they're not more exhausted when that furlough is finished, especially if you do an extended furlough. And so I bring that up because when you do come back, if you're going to do an extended furlough, then you have to take into consideration, okay, what budget do I have to prepare for my country? Do I have a staff? Do I have nationals that I need to support? Bills to pay while I'm gone? That kind of stays the same. Our electric bill goes down, but then we come back and we, sometimes a missionary, you have to find housing. Yeah, exactly. And so other expenses come up and it's getting more expensive to live in the States. And so school, for example, your kids in school, we've made a decision from council, from leadership and others that when we're back on furlough, we're prioritizing our kids' schooling so that they're getting a good education. It's hard to educate and do homeschooling while you're traveling. So I usually travel on the long trips and my wife stays back with the kids. And then I don't schedule a lot of Wednesday night meetings. That way I'm on the weekdays, I'm with the family. And then usually Thursdays or Fridays, I'm on my way to a meeting. I get back Monday nights or Tuesday mornings. And you need to make sure you're balancing that, but you've got to budget that as well. And so is the school going to cost? We've been blessed to have a tremendous sending church who allows our kids to go to school for free. You know, they offset the cost, which is a huge blessing. So I would say as you're preparing your budget, you need to be transparent and you need to have open communication with your sending church. So, you know, what are they going to help you with certain expenses? What's that going to look like? And then when you're back, you've got to try to think about 4 or 5 months ahead. For us, Eric, I don't know when your transition back, you know, you do shorter furloughs and that works for you. And like you said, it's different for every missionary. For us, if we're coming back for 6 months, even up to a year, our transition to furlough begins about 1.5 to 2 months before we even step foot in the States, because we're budgeting. I need to set aside money for this. I need to be ready for this. Do we need a car? Do we need to sell anything here in our home country and things like that? And so you definitely have to, you know, look at the big picture and realize there's going to be some big expenses up front.
Well, another thing that's just coming to my mind, the more we're talking about it, is probably one of the bigger expenses for us. Now, every example is different, is understanding what you're going to need to purchase while you're there, because in most cases, most missionaries can't always get the kind of clothes they want, Maybe there are certain things you need, projectors, computers, et cetera. And so that takes, like you mentioned, a lot of planning ahead of time. There also sometimes seems like a spending spree if you've been able to not be around something for so long. And they're like, hey, I need this, I need this, I need this, you know. And so having that money prepared for necessary things is really, really important. I think this last time, you know, we always bought clothes for our kids. My wife, she loves going to thrift stores. I really don't like thrift stores. That's why I'm so thankful for the earbuds, and you can listen to podcasts while your wife's taking many, many hours in a thrift store. But I'm very thankful for her frugalness. But this last trip, our kids grew so much. I couldn't believe how many clothes we had to replace. And so that's just the sort of thing that you need to budget into your, you need to put money into your budget, understanding when I go home and for this amount of time, we're going to have to purchase these clothes. Maybe, like, you know, we took a lot of summers where we're going home, Josh. We didn't need coats and hats and, you know, boots and all those other things for the snow. You know, we're going home this time in March. We got to get out the cold weather clothes, you know. And so things like that, you just got to be cognizant and be planning ahead and thinking ahead. Josh mentioned a few things. I thought about cell phones. Nowadays, you know, I used to buy these chips and you'd have to get them activated and you're going to be there for a short amount of time. And so it's just a million little things that maybe you're not thinking about ahead of time, but as you draw closer, you're like, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. And setting aside funds for that, so you're not going into debt, that you have enough funds, is a really important step.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, your kids growing. We came back last June. My oldest son, Tristan, I think he was around 5'8", 5'9". He's just shy of 6 foot right now. He's only 14 years old. This is insane. He's wearing my clothes now. So I tell my wife, that's my shirt. She's like, I don't know the difference anymore. Y'all wearing the same clothes. I'm like, he's too young to be wearing my clothes already. But so yeah, you definitely want to, if you're not married yet and you want to be a missionary, man, you better be praying. Don't just pray that God will give you a pretty wife. Pray that God will give you a wife who is frugal with money. You know, hopefully she's pretty as well, but just pray that God will give you a wife who's wise with finances and wise with stewarding money. And just a Proverbs 31 woman. It's so Amen. Important so that my wife manages all of that. She gets all the clothes set up and she's keeping up with it. She's constantly finding deals. She's going online and going into thrift shops and doing all of that. And so I'll say this, if you're a missionary, you're ever out in Colorado, my son and I just went out and we were in Colorado in Denver and I forgot to bring snow pants. We were going to go tubing. We were going to try to go dog sledding, but that was booked up. So I forgot snow pants. So I'm looking up a Goodwill because I figure we're in Denver. People probably turn in snow pants all the time. And a Goodwill outlet popped up. I thought, I never heard of a Goodwill outlet. Wow. So I drove to it. It's this huge, if you're in Denver, you got to go. It's an incredible thing. My wife would have loved it. So it's this huge warehouse with these giant blue bins, and you basically rifle through the bins, grab what you want, put it in your cart, which is set aside by the wall. And then every 20 minutes, they blow a whistle. You go stand behind a line. They switch out about 10 of the big blue bins with new bins. And then they say, ready, go. And you rush to the bin and whatever you can find, you grab. And then when you're done, they weigh what you've got and you pay by the pound. And so anyways, I thought, right, this is
that sounds awful. I will never go there. I'm gonna skip this out of the podcast and my wife never hears about this. But thank you for letting me know.
I'm not a big fan of doing that, but that was fun. I'm not a big fan of shopping and stuff, but that was fun. I'm pulling out shoes and it was pretty cool. And anyways. Definitely. Yeah, definitely do that. I know I've mentioned on the podcast before, but when you're traveling, go to Goodwill, go to the book section. You'll find Christian books there at cheap cost. Yes. You can build a library, things like that. But yeah, you know, when we come back, so we're fully supported. Sometimes you got to raise more support. And if you are under-supported, that's going to make the transition a little difficult. That's why you want to make sure your first month or two, as soon as you hit the ground, give yourself at least 2 weeks. This is my personal recommendation. Give yourself at least 2 weeks to get settled into wherever you're basing out of. Don't go to any meetings. Give yourself at least 2 weeks, but then you need to have a full schedule immediately, because especially if you're undersupported, because you're going to need to not only have money to sustain the ministry that you're working in and overseas, but you're going to need to sustain that transition. And there are a lot more expenses while you are on furlough, especially extended. But while you're on furlough, if you have a full schedule, you will have enough income from visiting churches, from love offerings. And I always tell our churches, we don't expect anything because we're fully supported. That's part of our job, is to come back and report to you. But of course, churches are very generous and they'll give you a love offering, help cover expenses when you do come to report. And so as long as you have that full schedule, you should be able to maintain your furlough plus the ministry you're involved in overseas. And then we haven't even gotten into raising a budget for projects you might have, but.
Well, you know, Josh, I'm just thinking back here as we're talking about this. One of the things we didn't talk about in our last podcast when we were talking about deputation, and probably because we've talked about it earlier podcasts, is that, you know, when missionaries are on deputation for 2 years, it's a long 2 years. And what you and I have recommended, but a lot of people do not follow, is that they will look for ways to cut corners to say, oh, this is basically, you know, they said to raise this amount of money, but if we do this, this, and this, we'll be fine. And usually, if you stay on the field long enough and you're getting ready for your next furlough, you realize you probably aren't fine, or you haven't been able to do nearly as much as what you wanted to do in the ministry. And so as you get nearer to coming back for your first furlough, it is very critical, you know, at least 6 months ahead of time, you're reaching out to the possibility of new supporting churches that Josh is mentioning, because, you know, we've been on the field now. In fact, yesterday we celebrated our 15th year here in the Dominican Republic. And I can't tell you how much recently, not only in America, but here on the mission field, how inflation has hit it and the price of things have gone up astronomically. Like, I don't remember any period of maybe 1 or 2 years in the lifetime of being here than this last couple of years. Inflation is a real thing in all around the world. And though we do live very cheaply here, I think, compared to if we lived in the States, you have to understand when you go back home, and Josh is more spiritual about this, but I will say this, it's very interesting. I've noticed this in our last few trips. There are certain churches who have understood inflation and in kind when it comes to their love offerings have really raised them. You know, when you come to visit, maybe on Wednesday night or Sunday night, but there are some churches, and we are very thankful for anything we get to help pay for gas. But they maybe have not made that adjustment over the years. And so though it is true, we are fully supported to be home. And so when you come home and you're adding, you know, you're driving hundreds and thousands of miles, you will spend a lot of money on gas. When you're eating out and you can't hardly eat a family of six at Chick-fil-A without dropping $45 or $50, you know, that's why you have to find areas to cut corners and things like that. So all that to be said, you have to really be strategically planning, understanding the prices have gone up, and that you have to sustain looking for new supporting churches just to keep up with inflation, or you're really, when you come back for that next term, are really going to have difficulties, not only just paying your bills, but having any kind of vision for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, something as you're talking about, as you're on raising support two years, sometimes maybe you're hitting that 3 year mark, sometimes hopefully not, but you're coming in on that 4 year mark. This doesn't have anything to do with finances, but it just kind of popped up in my mind. I would say, you know, sometimes you might have a harder time raising support. It might take longer if you're going to a country where there is a perception that there's already a lot of missionaries there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
There are needs everywhere. We were just in California where the pastor said in this county, there are, you know, 3 million people in this county, and there's 11 churches that would be probably identified as, you know, independent Baptists or unaffiliated independent Baptists, whatever you want to call it. There's only 11 reaching 3 million people. And you might say, well, who needs to go to California? Well, they have needs there, but there's sometimes a perception that, oh, you're going to Brazil. Well, there's a lot of missionaries in Brazil. So I would say to you, if you're raising support, God has called you as an individual. He's called you. And if you're 100% sure he wants you in that country, then I would say, try to figure out, why is God putting you there? If it is a country where there's already a lot of missionaries, find out what, why is that? You know, seek the Lord, evaluate and analyze your own gifts and your calling, so that if a pastor says, well, you know, there's we already have a lot of missionaries there, you do it with humble, in humility, but you should be able to communicate, you know, I understand there's a lot of missionaries there, but God has called us to this. There is a unique opportunity that I believe God has uniquely gifted us to reach this country that maybe somebody else wouldn't be able to. And so that's why, you know, I believe in, be excited, be passionate about it, so that pastors see, even though, yeah, there's a lot of missionaries there, God has uniquely gifted you for a particular ministry in that country you're going to. And don't get discouraged. Sometimes it does take longer, especially if you're going to a country where there's the perception of a lot of missionaries. Don't get discouraged. Keep at it. That's kind of a side note. That's extra here. We're not going to charge you for that. But
I had that experience, Josh, because when we went to the mission field, there were a lot of Dominican missionaries. In fact, one of the things I want to add is, like, if you have a desire to be supported by a certain church because they're in the area and they're a strong missions-minded church, and maybe they support, you know, a lot of missionaries of the Dominican Republic, you know, keep a good relationship with that church. They may not support you right now, but I'm thinking of a particular church that when we were on deputation, there were probably 5 missionaries they supported to the Dominican. A lot of it had to do because they live in the region in the D.C. area. You know what? All those missionaries are gone. And I'm now reaching out to that church, say, hey, I noticed you don't have missionaries in the Dominican Republic now. How would you like to still have one, you know? And this is what my little thing on my cell phone, what I do is I have a little notes category of future churches to visit. And whenever I see a good friend who maybe was an assistant pastor or a head pastor at a church and they move to another church, I write that down because I have a relationship with them. They trust us that they are interested in missions. And it doesn't take nearly as much work when you get into that 6-month mark to think, where should I go to see new churches? You just go to your list and you got probably 10 churches sitting there that are a possibility. And you just, and one of the things that's great with that is if you have a personal relationship, instead of calling through a secretary, you probably have their email, you probably have their telephone number, you text them, you tell them. And it's so much easier if you have a relationship with someone and they go to another church and they trust you and they want to support you to get that meeting into that new church, where if you were going to the front door, sometimes it's very difficult.
That is such good advice, because coming back on this furlough, I knew I wanted to pick up some new support, but I was dreading it because I'm like, I don't want to relive deputation and contact new churches that I don't know. But as I began reaching out, I began to realize, oh, well, there's two things. One, oh, wait, there, this assistant pastor of this church that we're good connection with, he's now over here. Mm-hmm. I'll just contact him. And so that was one. And then the other one was, with our mission, they'll send out random emails of churches looking for missionaries for their conference. And if I can make it work, I squeeze it in and say, all right, I'm going to be here. And so, you know, use those, you know, you don't have to start cold turkey if you're on furlough and just start doing cold calls again. Yeah. Cultivate those relationships, write it down. I like that. I'm going to make a note section of mine and try to keep better track of that myself. Cause I'm not very good. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. I'm not very good at when it's long distance, when it's out of sight, to me, it's out of mind. And so when I'm in Senegal, it's just Senegal. I'm absorbed with Senegal. And when I'm in the States, I'm in the States. I'm absorbed with the States and what we're doing here. And you have to learn to navigate that, both worlds of continuing to cultivate relationships with your churches. It's a partnership. You know, they're not just sending you money so that you can just do the work. That's part of it. But this is a relationship of serving the Lord together as they're sacrificing and giving for you to give. Yeah.
And something else, Josh, is that, to piggyback on this too, is people who come on missions trips sometimes become pastors and missionaries and pastors. Right. And, you know, you host a lot of mission groups. We do too. There is no better way to get a recommendation from somebody then they actually came to your church. They could be worked alongside with you. They had blood, sweat, and tears with you. I mean, they understand, you know, and that's one of the things that I think is exciting about this generation of missions more than ever, is that so many churches are now willing to go visit and help their missionaries and see firsthand and see their young people get called to missions, that it really helps the missionary when they come back on furlough. If you've stayed a long time, you know, you really have built up momentum. You build up a testimony that really helps you when you need to fill those gaps in. And there are gaps that come in the financial realm. You know, you can use the testimony and the experience of those who've come and visited before, and usually the Lord will help bridge that gap pretty quickly.
That's right. Another thing I would recommend, if you're a veteran missionary and you need to raise a little more support, there's two things you can do. Number one, start a podcast. You know, I've had churches reach out and say, hey, we've been listening to your podcast. We'd like to schedule that. That's happened a couple times. And two,
start a podcast.
And two, write a book about your experience, your calling and your ministry.
That's a good idea.
We've had our book, I distribute it at Bible colleges. They'll take it back home. Their pastor or youth pastor or somebody will read it. And we've had pastors call and say, hey, I just read your book about the ministry there in Senegal. We'd like to schedule you to come. If you don't know how to tell a story or write a book, then there's a lot of resources online. You can give basic outlines, find a ghostwriter, somebody to help you to write it, put it together. But I think we need to find ways just to get our personal experience as missionaries, get the story out there, you know, so that people.
And just to piggyback on that, social media, Josh. I mean, it doesn't take much to take a photo where you're preaching at a local church, or, you know, show the upcoming project. You know, we try to just constantly have just a little blip of information, you know, when we take men to a men's conference, because I think what encourages people is just to see what mission work looks like every day. And, you know, if they're waiting, most people aren't waiting for your prayer letter every month or every other month to read the whole thing. It's just a reality of life. But the way we consume information these days, whether it be Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, you know, a photo. Hey, look what Pastor Josh is doing today. Look what Brother Eric's doing today. You know, people feel like they're connected with you. And oftentimes those people go to different churches. Sometimes you get an inroad in those different churches. And so it's all about just making connections with people and people trusting what you're doing there on the mission field.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big fan of, I think we're past the days where we look at social media as some evil entity. Mm-hmm. It's just a medium. It's a neutral medium that can be used for bad. It can be used for good. And I can't tell you how many times we've been in a church that members of the church come up and they'll tell us, I get so encouraged seeing your posts, because there is a lot of social media that's discouraging, especially when you get around political seasons and things like that. And they come up and say, boy, I've just been so encouraged to watch, you know, to see what's going on and see, you know, see what the Lord is doing. And we're blessed because our churches, the members and the pastors, they're up to date with what's going on. You know, they get a quick glimpse, they see photos, they see what's going on. And so definitely learn to cultivate all those tools and mediums, because you're building relationships and you want people to be aware, you want people to pray. But Eric, when it does come to finances and raising support, which it's a necessity, that open communication and transparency, that helps people trust that, hey, if I send this money, if I send this offering, it's going to be used for the glory of God to advance missions. And so you need to learn to be transparent. A lot of missionaries are complaining, boy, we just don't get a lot of support and we're really struggling. Well, how much do you communicate? Well, I send about a prayer letter once a month, and I'm not on Facebook and things like that. Well, they don't know what's going on in your life then. No. You need to be open.
Host them, have them come see you.
Yes. And
it's accountability.
Yep. But I will say, you know, as a warning, if you don't have natural tact, then don't have social media. Have your wife run it, maybe.
That's a good point.
You do need to be intentional.
Just put pictures on.
just put pictures, what God is doing. There's no need to be contention. No need to be contentious or political. Sometimes I'll dive into the political, but not to say like you should vote for this guy or this guy, but like, what does the Bible say about this? Let's navigate through this. But anyways, you need to learn to navigate those things in a wise way that glorifies Christ and is putting out what you're doing, the work you're doing. And all of that ties into your financial and spiritual and relationship and, you know, partnership with your churches. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's three things really when you come home from furlough that are your goals when you go to churches. Number one is to report to the churches that are supporting you, encourage them and tell them what the Lord is doing through their prayers and their financial support. The second could be that you're trying to go to a new church and get financial support to continue there. And the third, and I probably won't have as much time to talk about this time, maybe we can next time, is sometimes, like in your case right now, Josh, is to raise funds for an upcoming project. And I just feel like as the years go on And as Josh mentioned, the more you can communicate how you're wisely using the funds to invest in others, whether it be national pastors and church buildings, in different events maybe you're doing there, it gives more confidence to those churches to continue to rally behind you and to invest their prayers and dollars into what you're doing. You know, people give to missions because they want to see progress. And I think people even nowadays, Josh, understand when they watch your videos and they see what's going on, they don't have an expectation to see, you know, 1,000 people sitting in a congregation. But they do understand the groundbreaking things for the gospel that are happening, and they want to be there on the ground floor. I feel the same way here in the Dominican. We're into regions, you know, even though we're in a country where in the South there may be a number of missionaries, where we are when we got here, there wasn't anybody within 30, 40 miles. And, you know, just to see the churches grow, I think that encourages people. And when you get to go home, see them face to face, show their video, explain what's going on. Generally, if things have been positive, they want to continue to be behind that. And that's when furlough can be very exciting.
Yeah, look, if you're a missionary, maybe part of the reason you're struggling with support and finances is because it's not that nothing's happening. Maybe you're not seeing the results that maybe you expected. You're in a country where you're not going to see thousands saved. But that the way you're presented is like, well, you know, we're staying faithful at least. And, you know, just nothing's happening yet, but we're staying faithful. Look, think about, you know, you mentioned, you know, getting in on the ground floor. Think about back when Apple, you know, started. Who wouldn't have wanted to get in on the ground floor of Apple? But it's like, it's kind of risky. I'm not sure. Any of these companies that now, I was looking at something the other day that it was saying, if you would have invested $1,000 in this company at this time, how much you would have today, you know, but it was high risk. But if you looked at some of these companies, the companies who people invested in at the ground level, the CEOs and the leaders, the founders knew how to communicate the vision of where we're going with this. Yeah. And as a missionary, you've got faith God is going to provide, but you've also got faith that I'm doing God's work and we're planting the seed, and what we're doing now will bear fruit. And so if you want to get in on what God's doing on the ground floor, boy, I'm excited about this and I'm passionate. Look what I believe God is going to do this because we're following biblical principles. And even though we don't see the results yet, God has promised that his word will not return void. He will accomplish it. And so this is our vision for what God is going to do. Don't be negative about it. Don't have an Eeyore mentality. And I've come across missionaries, veteran missionaries, who just, they develop that kind of a negative. Well, you know, we're just staying faithful, sticking by the stuff. Amen. And that's great, but be positive about it. We're sticking by the stuff because that's what's going to bring results and we're going to keep doing it. And maybe kind of analyze yourself, your spirit. Are you discouraged? Well, find a way to encourage yourself in the Lord so that you can present God's calling in a passionate way so that you can cultivate those relationships so people are praying for you and people want to support. And like Eric said, get in on the ground level of what God is doing.
And generally, Josh, you know, we've seen this. To me, this has been one of the most exciting things as we've seen our third church building go up with our church plant. You know, we had two different churches that have come for all three construction projects for the first church, second church, third church. And it's exciting to see, you know, some of the same people be along the way and just kind of build on those experiences. And I think, you know, how wonderful it is one day in heaven to be celebrating with them. They've had such a vital part in not only praying and giving, but literally constructing the buildings where people are getting saved. And, you know, that's where the parts of furlough and the second and third furloughs and, you know, just building up steam and building up momentum really should make you excited to cast that vision to other people and see who gets behind it.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, we've had churches come out when we were starting from scratch. We built a building before we even had church services. And it's great to connect with those who came out in those early days when we didn't have anything. Nobody was coming to church. We would do Bible studies and it was just the mission group and us, you know, maybe a few friends in the neighborhood. To come back now and share how in December we had 7 saved, 50 in attendance. We're starting a church We're starting a church 25 miles north of us. And that's a contact we made through our media ministry, which is reaching 1 million people a month right now with our online ministry. And all of that is to say, we started from the ground up, which was, it was just my family and I, and we started with nothing, but we knew this is God's work. We're going to plug into what God is doing. But like you said, it's so exciting to come back with those who were there and they just start tearing up. I was there when one of the churches came and we were on the roof the final night on a Friday night. And I was praying. And as I was praying for the group and for this, the work that they had done while they were there, the mosque began the call to prayer and somebody was recording it because I'm praying in English as the mosque is doing the call to prayer. And that was so impactful to them. They talk about that to this day, just the contrast of the religious, you know, darkness that we're trying to reach and penetrate. And yet the light of the gospel has penetrated that. And we've seen people saved. And so if you're a missionary, stick with it, cultivate a vision, be excited about it, learn to be transparent with your churches, but not negative, learn to be positive about it. And just be excited about God's calling. Be persistent. Work hard. Schedule your meetings. Raise your support. Budget wisely. Figure out how do I need to budget for while I'm on furlough? Where's my family going to go? And all of this. Get all that covered. And if you don't know what you're doing, find a missionary or a pastor, somebody who can help you sit down and budget those things out. Those things are important. Well, Eric, if you have nothing else to add, I'm going to say in the next few, I'm excited about a few of our upcoming episodes because we're going to interview some people that are professionals in financial investing. There's another gentleman I'm going to interview. He's a pastor who in his 40s began investing in real estate, and God has blessed that investment. He leads, he actually oversees and runs an investment company that allows missionaries and pastors to invest. I'm excited to have him on. And we're just going to talk about investing. If you're on deputation, you need to start considering. I know you might just have a few pennies to get by, but start thinking about, okay, even if it's $10 a month, I need to set something aside for future investment so that when you're at retirement age, you're going to have a little bit of a nest egg there to support yourself. Because I'll tell you, we were with a missionary recently, and they said, you know, when we retired, we lost quite a few churches. And one veteran missionary who's retired, he said, 1/3 of our support comes from missionaries who are helping us out because a lot of churches dropped our support because we're technically not on the field. And churches have that policy. That's fine. I'm not knocking that. But as a missionary, you need to plan ahead for that. So we're going to be discussing those topics.
Well, I'm very excited about it. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about still, and we're just kind of scratching the surface.
Yeah, very good. Well, from cold Michigan, where I'm trying to stay warm, this is Josh Mead. I'm looking forward to getting back to Senegal. I have a week trip in April. I'm going to be there for a week in April during Easter, and then I come back, and then as a family, we go back in June. And so we're excited to get back to Senegal. But from Michigan, this is Josh Mead.
Eric Johnson, the Sunny DR.
Have a great week. Be sure to like, subscribe, YouTube, Facebook, podcast. Share the podcast with somebody you think this might be a blessing to. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. God bless. Goodbye.